Good morning, Lagos. It's good to be back on for another week of Power Solutions on Nigeria Intro 99.3. Today we have two amazing guests. But before I introduce them, I just wanted to say the off-grid energy sector is the hottest sector in Nigeria right now. And while the rest of the economy seems to be on hold because of the elections, in off-grid energy, there's new funds, new grants, new programs, everything, new companies kicking off. We're not waiting because the solutions are needed to transform Nigeria. So today we have two young entrepreneurs from ICE Community Power, Ifeanyi Umeje and Emmanuel Ekwemme. They both have very interesting stories. They have journeys that started in America and they came back home to Nigeria. So we'd love to hear about that today. But first, if you can just say hello to everybody in Lagos.
Hi, Lagos. I'm Ifeanyi Umeje, co-founder of ICE Commercial Power.
Hey, Lagos. How's it going? This is Emmanuel Ekwemme.
And you are?
Co-founder of ICE Commercial Power.
All right. So you can hear the accent. These guys, they're Nigerian by origin, but they grew up in the U.S. and then a couple of years ago decided to take the jump and come back home and jump into the off-grid energy sector. So I'd love to hear from both of you what your story is, what led you to do that and take that risk. So Ifeanyi, let's start with you.
Thank you so much. So essentially, you know, left Nigeria at the age 7 and grew up in the U.S. For about 25 years. Went to school, worked in New York on Wall Street doing finance, and essentially just I felt like I needed a little bit more in terms of challenge, in terms of connection back to the continent, and I'd taken several trips back and just sort of reconnected with family back home, and a particular trip I took actually to Europe sort of inspired a desire to sort of bring Nigeria up to maybe sort of a close to a Western standard, and then after going back to Nigeria and kind of like seeing what the environment looked like, I just connected with my close friends. Emmanuel and I grew up together for pretty much over 20 years, and we just connected on sort of the challenges in Nigeria, and we felt that this is something that we could solve. We felt really confident that we had a great solution. And we felt compelled to come back and do something about it.
Emmanuel?
Yeah, my story is actually very similar to Ifeanyi's. Also moved to the States when I was 7. Did school over there. I did not work on Wall Street. Ended up going to graduate school after undergrad. Mm-hmm. And then did a postdoc after that. But to be honest with you, I think everything really came together in the past few years when, as you just mentioned, we've with everything going on in the industry and just funds coming in and just the excitement in the sector. And I think just serendipity, like how everything came together and we started on this journey.
Okay. And so both of you guys quit your jobs and came out here?
Yep.
So when you told your parents, your friends, I want to go home, I want to fix the power problem, what did they tell you?
So initially for me, I didn't tell my parents because I felt like they might, overreact. And I felt really confident about, the solution that we were providing. And I felt really confident about the team that we put together. So I didn't want to get distracted by people who maybe didn't believe in what we were doing. So it wasn't until we had been selected for a Harvard Business School competition that I felt, okay, maybe it would be unfair if I didn't give them a chance to find out and, show up for this. So that was when I eventually told them. And at that point, I think there was enough evidence, for them to kind of buy into what we were doing.
And by then you'd already quit your job on Wall Street?
By then I'd already quit at that time I was still working.
Okay. Yeah. And I imagine your parents are typical Nigerian parents, typical immigrant parents.
Exactly.
And what was their reaction?
Yeah, so at that point they knew that, quitting was going to be an inevitability, right? But there was enough traction where I could, I felt like I had enough to be able to defend the point. And so I was just, really excited about what we were doing. I was really excited to, you know, get some credibility behind it. And so I just felt, you know, much more confident in being able to convince them that this is exactly what I'm going to do. And, you know, it's just a matter of time before I'm back in Nigeria. So just get ready for that. So I don't think they had really much of a chance to, like, fully internalize it before things just started moving very quickly.
Right. And so between the age of 7 when you left and then when you took the jump, I mean, I guess you visited Nigeria from time to time. How much connection did you have with the country over that period?
Yeah, so I actually didn't have very much connection with the country until after I graduated from college. Mm-hmm. Right? So it was maybe 3 or 4 years into my professional career. So I left at 7, and the first time I came back was 2011, and I was, I think, 26, 27 at the time.
That was your first visit?
It was 20 years before I first came back to Nigeria. And man, it was even longer, so get ready for that. It was just a while. And then, you know, it was just, I felt like, wow, this is really interesting. I started to kind of make sense about certain things about, you know, my background, my personality and everything. It was just great to, you know, be able to kind of like reconnect with your origin. And stuff.
Right. Emmanuel, what's your version of that? How was your parents' reaction?
I guess a little different from Ifeanyi's. When we first started working,
and you were a student, you weren't making big bucks on Wall Street.
So yeah, that was key. So I was actually a postdoc. It was my first year of postdocing.
Okay.
And
you have a PhD?
Yes, I do have a PhD.
All right,
biomedical engineering.
Wow. Okay.
We were working on the idea just part time on the weekends, the three of us. And I had expressed to my mom what we were doing. Obviously, she's from here, so I really just wanted to get feedback in terms of, like, what do you think of the merit behind the idea? And I think initially she was like, oh, this is cool. You're working on something for Nigeria, like a nice little after-school project. But as, you know, things started, you know, progressing and we started getting a bit more traction, and I asked her for a bunch of money, she was just like, okay, all right, this is pretty serious.
Okay.
And she was like, okay, all right, you know, she even became our lead investor for a bit.
Okay.
But it got really hard for her when she realized that I wasn't looking for jobs near the end of my postdoc, and I was, like, just going to Nigeria, like, every 2 months.
Right.
So she was like, wait, why are you going to Nigeria for jobs? But that's how that worked out. Eventually, she caught on, and, you know, like, we have, I think both of our groups of parents, like, we have all their support right now. So okay. I think that's, like, really key. But in terms of coming back, like, I actually came back, like, we moved in 94, came back in 03. Came back again in like 13.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was pretty much it. But in the last 3 years, I think, you know, we've probably spent more time in Nigeria than the States.
Right. But it's going to take a while for your accent to change, right?
Yeah.
We're working on it. Can you guys speak broken yet?
I can a little bit more than me.
A little bit. Yeah. Can you speak Igbo?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. I won't test you on that. Okay. All right. So now, I love that story. I mean, you know, there's such a variety of people that have come into this industry. And in the end, whether that's someone who grew up here, came back from abroad, or is not even from Nigeria, I mean, I think everybody in the end, they see the need and they get a passion for solving this massive power problem we have. So talk to me now about your business. It's called ICE Community Power. The ICE is Ifeanyi. Yeah. Oh, commercial. Sorry, ICE is Ifeanyi. What's the C?
The C is Cedric.
Cedric, and then Emmanuel.
Yes.
Okay, so it's your first name. It has nothing to do with the immigration program in the U.S. But tell me, what does ICE do? And I think what's also really interesting is you started in Asaba, which I think is sort of highly unusual. That's actually why we kind of really liked what you guys are doing. But why Asaba? You know, how did it get going, and what do you guys do?
So I'll start with why we, you know, launched in Asaba, and then I'll let Emmanuel explain more into what we do. So essentially, you know, coming back and being able to establish this, we understand that Nigeria is sort of like fraught with issues around trust, etc. And we felt that, you know, just based on, you know, my relationships and my background, my father's from the Asaba area in Delta State. We would have some relationships to be able to kind of like roll out our pilot operating mostly out of the U.S. It would be difficult to kind of just send people money, send people equipment, and trust them to execute. So that was, you know, we thought that would mitigate a lot of risk for us. And then, you know, just from the aspect of identifying with you know, like the origin of our story and kind of like the charity begins at home. It felt like, you know, being able to launch it outside would kind of like puts that staple there that we're going to figure out how to do this mm-hmm. first for the people that mean the most to us and then kind of roll out to the larger Nigerian community.
All right, so Doctor, so now you get to talk about what exactly does ICE commercial mm-hmm. power do?
So in a nutshell, what we're trying to do is pretty simply we're trying to scale solar. And the big thing with solar scaling, at least at the commercial level in Nigeria, is the access to financing or the cost in order to bring that upfront cost down. What we've designed is really not, I guess it's not really new in the world space because a lot of other companies in the West are employing this on-bill financing approach. That's what we're doing. We're bringing that to Nigeria, utilizing a pay-as-you-go mechanism where we're partnering with several financial institutions, whether it be local banks, NGOs, DFIs, and we're bringing that type of financing that's usually reserved for like larger projects and a lot of these, I guess, low-income business owners don't really have access to, and that's we're using technology to support that whole process.
Okay, that's still a bit vague. That is very vague. Okay, so we're launching a pay-as-you-go for small businesses in Nigeria.
To get solar power.
To get solar power.
Okay. So if I'm a small business, how do I get your power?
What we do is we go out and we source information about your energy usage and your behavior. And from there, we design a custom solution that makes sense really financially for you, but also that allows you reliable access to energy.
Okay. All right. So now in Asaba, you have your first deployment was in Asaba.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's been operating, I think, over a year now.
A year and a half.
Yeah. So what have you learned? What have you seen?
Okay. So I guess one big thing before we even moved to Nigeria, I had never worked with solar up until, you know, we started the company. My brother had solar in the States. I knew the technology made sense there, like even in a place that didn't have reliable, like, even in a place that does have extremely reliable electricity. A big part of the pilot, really for me at the basic level, was just like, okay, does the technology work? Can it actually make a difference for someone who needs it in a place like this? That was the biggest lesson for me, is that it really works. Like, the technology is not the issue. Like, and I think, you know, that was a hypothesis that we had going in. Technology is great. It's really now focusing on what we have to do to scale it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So the innovation you need in Nigeria is not new technology.
It's not a business model.
Precisely, a business model. Okay.
Business model. Yeah.
So if you have so some of the customers that you have in Asaba, you know, as we said, they've been operating, they've had it for over a year. What are some of the stories? I mean, have their businesses grown? Have their livelihoods improved? What's the, give us some as much detail as you can without giving out proprietary information. But we'd love to, I mean, I think that's what the audience would love to hear is your provision of solar at affordable rates, pay-as-you-go to customers, what has it meant for their lives?
Yeah, so we initially identified, you know, the generator industry as sort of like the industry that we were hoping to sort of impact the most, if you will, from like a competitive standpoint. We felt that generators kind of create a lot of CO2 emissions. They consume a lot of fuel. They're loud. They create a lot of issues for people. So it was really pleasing for us that initially we looked at our data and we were able to kind of cut our off-takers expenses down by about 70%. And one of our customers, the first one to fully park his gen, I think was a huge milestone for us. We were like, okay, you know, we're doing what we set out to do, which is essentially like replace the generator. So that was a huge, that was a huge milestone for us. Another thing that, you know, we've been, you know, working on is sort of identifying, initially we identified the finance as the biggest challenge for people to like access solar. And, as we started looking into sort of, what's going on, how do you sort of like create this? And we were able to identify that, you know, when we self-funded our first site, we were able to track the data and monitor like individuals who are paying, their payment behavior. And we're like, if we can scale this, banks could come to us for credit ratings because we understand like who's paying and, mm-hmm. you know, how they're paying. And this is really powerful stuff. So we can, simultaneously, while delivering power, also deliver bankability, which we thought was really fantastic.
Right. So that milestone you talked about the first customer that parked their gen, by that do you mean they sold their gen or what? I mean, or did they keep it at the side just in case?
Right. So, you know, I think we all understand Nigerians are not very trusting people. So he set it aside and allowed it to collect dust. You know, but I think he didn't go as far as selling it, but I have not seen him use his gen since. So,
all right. That's a small victory. But so, and I like what you said, that basically you see your competition is the generators. Companies, the generator distributors, not the disco.
Correct.
Right. Is there a scenario where the disco could become a competitor, or are they more collaborators with this?
Yeah, definitely more collaborators. As Emmanuel mentioned, you know, his brother, has a solar system, and we both grew up in the U.S. And whereas in Nigeria, if there's a blackout, it's 3 o'clock, right? Mm-hmm. But in the U.S., if there's a blackout, it makes global headlines. This is not something that we've experienced. I think there was like one time that I remember a blackout in the Northeast, and that was it. So
Northeast of the U.S.
Northeast of the U.S., right. So this is not something that we're used to, yet solar is the fastest growing mode of technology, mode of electricity in the West, in the U.S. So we saw that as like, we don't have to compete against the national grid or GenCos, we can work collaboratively. We're both trying to solve the same problem. And I think if we do understand that and sort of like defragment things a bit, there's huge opportunity to solve problems in Nigeria. So we don't see them as an issue. We see people who are getting hurt, from generators and having the light, lamps that are setting fires to their properties, et cetera. We see that as a risk. Not so much competition, but sort of how to improve people's lives fundamentally.
Right. Okay. So, Emmanuel, talk to me about, one of the things we've seen with lots of providers is that there's sort of a hesitation from a typical Nigerian consumer about solar. Is this something you've experienced, and how have you been able to overcome it? Again, you've mentioned the trust issues and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us some of the stories of maybe people you went to who just chased you away and said, this is never going to work,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really common. One thing we also noticed is there isn't much of a maintenance culture in our country. And we took that into account and built that into our model. So part of the pay-as-you-go that I mentioned earlier includes servicing by us. So we come in, once we install the system, we do preventive maintenance throughout the life of the system, so the consumer doesn't have to worry about any of that.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had customers who we've told that to, and they're just like, no, we don't believe you. Like, solar's not going to work. I've had solar before. Like, and then after a year or something, the batteries go out or, it just doesn't work. It takes some education on our part to just kind of let them know. It's like, okay, we're there with you the whole time. So you don't have to worry about that. You just pay us like a utility bill.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's how we take it.
Okay. So there's both hesitation on that solar will work, but also that you are actually there for them.
Mm-hmm.
And will. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and so I guess now the customers that have been with you have seen...
Well, for real.
And I guess they're referring others, I imagine.
Precisely.
Yeah, okay. So, and what are you guys focusing on now?
Really, expansion. We've done a lot with that first pilot site.
Mm-hmm.
We've got several sites now in about 3 states.
Mm-hmm.
It's really just to kind of...
Can you let us know the states?
Yes. We've got some sites with the Health Center Project out of Edo State.
Okay.
We partnered for the health improvement program there. We have we're working on the marketplace in Ondo State.
Okay.
We've got some.
And is that part of the energizing?
That is part of the energizing economy. Okay. Initiative through REA.
Okay.
We've also got some other commercial sites in Lagos as well.
Okay.
But we're really just trying to focus on, these core sites that we started with,
mm-hmm.
really build out the pilot aspect of it, get the data that's required to mm-hmm. kind of, equip us to really scale both in those regions and outside of as well.
Okay. All right. So, Zainab, can you share the numbers so that people can call in? Sorry, I almost always forget that I need to do this.
Call us on 01-277-0993, 01-277-1993, 01-277-2993, and 01-277-3993.
This is Nigeria Info. We are listening.
Do we have no calls yet? Okay, all right. Okay, so we'll keep talking, and if the calls come in, then we'll answer them. So what has been your, other than maybe adjusting to moving back to Nigeria, to getting used to the country you were born in, what have been the other issues that you faced as a bootstrap startup business? I actually know the answer, but I'm going to ask you anyway.
Yep.
What has been the most difficult thing? If Yanni is about to jump on the mic, let's hear you.
I love this one. So Nigerians don't like to invest. Typically, I would say.
Okay, hold on. Okay. We have a phone call, so listeners come first. Hello, good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Yes, what's your name?
My name is Stella.
All right, Stella, what question do you have for ICE?
Oh, okay, I was listening to you just now about lighting up a commercial area. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I think I have my business area would be interested. So I'd like for you to, you know, give us maybe an address or a phone number or whatever where we can contact the guys directly.
Okay, well, I'll let them answer.
I'm in Aja.
You're in Aja?
Yeah, Aja Lagos.
Okay, fine. So if Yanni, maybe you can answer. How do potential customers, how do they get in touch with you to get your service?
Okay. So for starters, we're at icecompower.com. That's our website. And then also like Instagram is, what is it called? At icecompower.com, as well as Twitter. But our telephone number is 0907052001.
Come again, 0907052 0 5 2 0 0 3 1 0 0 3 1 0 0 3 1.
Yes. Wow. And we'll direct you to sales personnel. They can give you all the information that you need, and we'd be happy to talk more and provide you with some solar services.
All right. Thank you very much for your call.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. So you were saying that one of the things that you're finding difficult is Nigerians don't invest.
Yes. So, I mean, from a, I would say from a cultural standpoint, which was really different, I guess. So, again, coming from a little bit of a finance background, understanding sort of, you know, risk appetite and taking on risk and understanding that you can't really build anything without investment dollars going in. I mean, even sort of expeditions that people have taken to kind of like chart new territories require investment capital, right? And you know, you sort of have this chicken versus the egg thing in Nigeria where people expect to see a certain amount of traction. They want to see sort of like the concept to be proven before they will even look at it, and we just need to understand that there are a lot of brilliant people here in Nigeria and there are a lot of great ideas, and while, you know, trust is still a factor, we're not going to move forward as a country unless we understand the necessity for investment dollars to come in and kind of like push ideas forward.
Right. Okay. So Zainab is telling me we only have a minute left, so we're going to have to round up now. But I do want to tell you guys, so I know you're looking for investors right now for your business and you're looking for customers. Okay. But our investment committee from All On, we've approved the first of three stages of approvals for ICE to look at your investment, so we're going to now start asking you a lot more questions.
Oh, wow,
off-air.
Fantastic.
All right, so you passed the first hurdle, so look forward to working with you guys. But in the next, I guess you have 30 seconds left before Zainab shuts us off.
Okay.
Emmanuel, any final words? What can we expect from ICE in the next 3 years?
Major moves, honestly. We have a lot of initiatives that we're working on with a bunch of different partners. Just expect to see a lot of panels being put up around the country, honestly.
Okay. You're going to light up Nigeria? Okay. Ifeanyi, do you have anything more profound?
Ifeanyi, go ahead. We're just excited about some of the partnerships that we have going on. We just signed an MOU with Microsoft about a week and a half ago. Mm-hmm. That was championed by Emmanuel, essentially. So it's just, you know, from a technology standpoint, from a finance standpoint, we're looking to really innovate this space. And we just love to get, you know, people behind us just kind of rooting us on, and we thrive off of enthusiasm, so we're just excited to do this.
All right, well, I just want to say thank you guys for coming back to Nigeria, for dropping everything you were doing in the U.S., coming back home. We need all hands on deck for this industry, and it's exciting to have you guys as part of it. And I do look forward to going further through the investment process with you. Zainab has asked that I should mention my Twitter handle. So my Twitter handle is at Wiebe, that's W-I-E-B-E, B as in boy, underscore Africa. So Wiebe, W-I-E-B-E, B, underscore Africa. All right, so if you want to learn more about ICE, about off-grid energy, check me out on Twitter as well, and you'll learn a lot more. But that's all that we have for today. From Power Solutions on Nigeria Info 99.3. Thank you to Emmanuel Ninifiani for coming on the show. It's been wonderful.
Thank you so much.
We'll look forward to having you on maybe in a couple of months.
Okay.
When you've grown and exploded in the market.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
We look forward to it.
Nigeria Info. We'll be right back.
Hey man, what are you getting Linda for Valentine?
Man, I'm just blank, man. Everything is out. I've used everything I have.
You know what? I had the same problem too until I walked into Chocolat Royale. They have loads of Valentine ideas that you need to go and pick up. Whatever your budget, if you're a student or a bank MD, there's something available for you. Something that will plaster a smile on your sweetheart's face.
Sounds great. What did you say?
Chocolat Royale. Come on, man. Don't you know where it is?
I know it.
Hurry! Live the